Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Jack.
Tom.
Ali. Roz. I have a terrible tummy ache, man.
Was that your big lead?
Well, yeah, man, because I just told you when we were eating
food.
You
turned to all of us, you went, I've got a way to start this off.
I do not.
And you, it's because you ate 3 chocolate fingers.
Is it the lactose intolerance?
Oh, you've done your research.
I've done my research.
Oh, bollocks. Yeah, because chocolate has a...
Well, when you said in the shop, I'm going to have a tummy, I thought you knew that was because of the lactose.
Nah, I thought it was just because of all the sugar.
God almighty.
Oh, right.
Bollocks.
Well, look, I'm in the headspace for some relationship therapy with Jack. We're in a bit of a... Not. We're friends, just at that. But, no. When you're ready, hit to say the title of the show in it, and then the title sequence will. Yeah.
Shut up, I'm talking.
Shut up, I'm talking podcast, episode 29. We have a big one today. People, look, we have been worried. For this podcast to work, me and Tom have to have a good relationship.
Got
to
get on.
We got to get on. And recently we've been arguing, mainly specifically about a film, but we'll get to that. So we decided, what better than to get, and I hope, couples therapist, relationship therapist? What's the exact title for you guys?
Both, really.
Both?
Yeah, and working with individuals, but couples, relationships, yeah.
How long have you been doing it?
God, that's a big question. I've been doing it 20 years, but only 5 years for the relationship stuff. Yeah, and I've been doing it similarly for the relationship. I don't look old enough, do I?
No, that's what I was thinking when I did that reaction.
And I've been doing it for 30 years, but I started as a music therapist. So I started as a music therapist.
What's
which
a music
is
therapist?
It's working in the sort of same way that you do with counselling or psychotherapy, but you're using improvisation and music so that you can, in a way, make the relationship with people through that, rather than necessarily talking about it. So people who maybe find it really hard to express themselves with words, or maybe have various disabilities or whatever, that's a really lovely way to connect
that's
with
wicked,
them
man.
Through improvisation. So that was my first before
I
psychotherapy.
I did not know that was a thing. That's
yeah.
so sick.
Yeah.
Well, I did jazz for like 5 years. Jazz music, that's quite...
Okay.
I'm going to, yeah, look
yeah,
into that.
Yeah, so there's something very improvisational about music therapy. So jazz would be really sort of
it's good for
a link.
Good for
in,
the
yeah,
mind.
Yeah.
I'm grade 5, actually. So great, highest grade.
I don't know what that means.
Is
it? Okay.
It's the highest grade.
What's your instrument?
Well, where do I begin? Piano. It's just piano. So I don't
there's
know.
No just. There's no just.
Thank you so much.
Little bit of discounting going on there. Not I noticed.
Oh, we're already
it's
already starting. They've got
right,
you.
Right. Okay. Should we just dive right in? And you guys have a podcast as well, don't you?
We do.
We are just starting one. Yeah.
Wicked. What's the name?
It's going to be called Relational Lives. Right. Mm. And it is just, it's not just about relationships, but it's about the relationship we have with ourselves as well.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Perfect.
Awesome.
That's
and you can find a link to that in the description, dear viewers. Now let's get into the fucking meat of it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So... What? Doing a big deep breath. So yeah, we wrote some questions, but unlike usually with our guests, we're sort of happy if you take the lead. This is a new experience for us.
You guys showed up with notes, which is unusual from a guest perspective.
They're a tiny font, man, which is a sign of...
Yeah, it's impressive, really, for our age,
stupidity.
Having a tiny font. But
dominance.
No,
we've crammed more into our notes
massive.
Than you.
Yeah. This is what we wanted to start by talking about. is a Bob Dylan movie. Because I think it's wicked, yeah? Don't laugh. I think it's one of the best films I've seen in years. Genuinely.
And I thought it was fine.
And Jack here thinks it's fine. And the more we talk about it, we start, you know, really disagreeing with one another.
There's been a couple of episodes of this podcast where it's genuinely got intense for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because we can't agree on
the...
This should be fine. And I'm cool to... You know, it's fine that you... But I think what you kept saying is that I just didn't get it.
He doesn't get it. Which I
disagree with. I just don't think... I think I got it. I just didn't...
You just didn't think it was...
It was worthwhile.
Deep enough.
Yeah, I don't think it was much of anything.
He's wrong.
If we were working with a couple... Or with people, you know, two people in the room.
Does it have to be a couple? But like when you say relationship, no, is it could be strictly romantic?
No.
Okay,
we work with families as well, so it could be anybody. It could be siblings.
So you're prepared for this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So in a way, what we would sort of start looking at is if you think you're talking about the film, So we would probably say, when you're talking about the Dylan film, how does that play out between you? What happens between you? What positions do you both kind of take?
Not
in terms of what you think about the film. Sorry, interrupting.
Sorry.
But not in terms of the film itself, the content that you're talking about. Like, I like the film, I don't like the film so much. But more about when you're talking about the film, how do you both interact?
I get well pissed off.
You get pissed off? At what point do you get pissed off? That's the bit.
May I speak candidly? when I think he's stupid. When I think he's stupid to... And he doesn't get it.
So it sounds really important to you that Jack is kind of coming towards you on your side, that you really want him to be loving the film as much as you do.
Yeah.
And so there's some importance in that.
It's important to me. It's a special film to me.
Well, it sounds like Jack's important to you too.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, yeah. And I want him to like my new favourite film.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you want him to get over onto your side.
I do.
Because...
He's your buddy.
He's your mate.
He's my best friend. One of five. But
but still, one of five.
One of five, you know what I mean?
One of five. We're in the five.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I thought you were going to go, no, I don't rank them, but you sort
I
of
definitely do rank them, yeah. But that's for me.
Oh, so you're not going to be sharing.
Interestingly, though, when I watched that Bob Dylan...
Oh, you've seen the argument.
You've seen the argument.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I notice you seem more obviously annoyed.
Ooh.
That's often the case with me always. But my annoyance came from the fact that...
That you were stupid, mate.
Well, that's where my problem comes in.
I'm happy to disagree on the film.
Like, I don't have to like it. You can think it's a work of art. It doesn't really matter. But I think the fact that you would diminish me not liking it to stupidity is what frustrates me, because I think I have a valid point. It's not stupid.
So when he says you're stupid.
It's the invalidation of the point rather than the disagreeance with it.
Yeah.
Mm. But... I think what he's saying is invalid because he's wrong.
And so therefore, coming back to the part for you that you want him to come over to your side again.
I would like, yeah. You know?
That's quite sweet though, isn't it?
It is a sweet thing that you want me to be on your side, but I also think...
You want him to be on your side?
Not even, no. Well, I mean, it'd be nice if we agreed, but I also am willing to accept that we don't have to. But you don't have the same acceptance. What I want him to be on my side for is the acceptance of disagreeance.
Okay, so accepting that you
disagreement, I don't know. Yeah,
accepting that you can have differing viewpoints on it.
But I think his reasons why, this is mad, sorry. Okay, but I think his reasons why is because he says that he doesn't think it was deep enough. And I actually think it was plenty deep. And you just have to read into Timothy Chalamet's amazing acting he does, which is very subtle. But I think Jack doesn't get it. But he takes offense from that, which I can understand. I'd be offended.
I at this point, we're too far out and I'd have to see it again, but I don't recall such nuance in the performance.
I recall nuance. I've seen it twice.
But the point is that you can have differing ways of seeing this, can't you?
Mm.
But it's the fact that you end up arguing about it rather than being able to say, okay,
yeah,
we see it differently.
Yeah. I guess I could not argue, but that's hard.
But why is that? Oh, now I'm doing it. Why is that hard?
It's hard because he wants you on his team. He wants you on his side.
Want you on my side.
But we're on a team. It's just we don't have to.
But
it's
a betrayal of the team.
It's not a betrayal of the team. The team doesn't have to hold the same values of Bob Dylan films.
I wish it did. Wish it
so
did.
maybe being controversial, maybe there's something then in the dynamic when you do have an argument or when you do disagree, that actually it becomes enjoyable in itself, that the actual process of disagreeing becomes an enjoyable thing.
This is the other problem, because we're on the podcast. Yeah, you know, I can't not hammer myself up a little bit and call him a dickhead when it's simple. When I usually wouldn't. Well,
it's interesting. Can I make an observation?
Please.
There was in that, when you were having that argument around, or disagreement, let's say, rather than disagreement around the Dylan film, it was interesting because it seemed like you were really enjoying in some ways the fact that Jack was kind of getting more and more pissed off.
We do love a good squabble, Jack. Yeah.
But I think you seemed, like a squabble.
I was going to say.
Oh, fuck off, do you love a squabble? No.
That's what I think I noticed.
Right.
Your discomfort with it more than.
I don't know why we have to argue.
I love a good argument. You love a good argument.
I love a debate. They're a different thing. You are right. There's a point at which you can disagree about things, and then there's a point at which that shifts, and you just start like going for personal jams, and you reach that territory quickly.
I do, but I hate when people do it back to me.
Exactly.
I hate that. And at least
so
you
good
know
observation
that.
Then. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think possibly you should stop doing it to others.
I only do it. No, that wasn't going to be a very valid point.
We've got some questions we want to ask.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
All right,
yeah.
Go on.
Is that okay?
We're here now. We're open already. We're already open.
So we want to explore this friendship a bit more.
Jack, okay. And I love you.
Yeah, no, I love you too.
I love
mate.
You too. Aww. This is going to be tough, but I love you.
Is it?
They've skipped to the last bit.
Yeah.
You'll find out
at the end.
That's okay. We can remember it at the end.
Okay, yeah, sure. We'll think about it.
Yeah, yeah. So the first question we were going to ask you really is how because we're not from the world of YouTubing and we don't sort of, you know, we have kids.
And probably some of your listeners might not know the answer to this.
Yeah, but we wondered how your friendship started.
Well, I was in a Discord call with Jack.
Yes.
And I didn't know him.
Do you know what Discord is?
Which one?
Discord.
No,
similar Skype, to Skype, very similar to Skype, or even like Zoom in some ways. You know what I mean? It's that sort of thing, but without camera.
Thank you for checking that out with
us. That's all right, of course.
And thank you for asking them.
That's okay, Tom.
This is a
very thankful room. I'm liking this.
You got a lot of praise for that.
There's a lot of manners in this room.
If I didn't know, I would have gone in first. Anyway, sorry, we're not used to this level of politeness. Do you know what I mean? We had awful Jacksepticeye on the other week.
Right, no, you need to not do that to him. He's lovely. He is lovely.
We met where we were in a Discord call and I didn't know Jack and I found his personality amusing because I didn't know him and he was very confident. And so I assumed he was one of like the most famous people in the call. And then it turned out it wasn't. I thought that, and then he was really like solid. So then we got in a call and then, but this is when it was very interesting to me about fame. I was very focused. I was like 15.
How long ago? Oh, so
you... like five years ago. Yeah.
5 years.
And then
5 years.
We got in a call. I can't remember why, but we spoke like twice. And then I got into we have a sacred group chat with all my friends. And I was like, I have to add this guy. And everyone was like, no, why? And I was like, no, I am. And then we added him and then we played video games together through COVID. And then that was, and then.
Yeah, we met up at the end of COVID.
Met up at the end of COVID.
In person.
Yeah, well, it turned out through sheer coincidence that we lived quite close to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 30 minutes away.
So we met up and then Jack came down to Brighton first, and then we had about a year of like friction where Jack was in Brighton and he was leaning more towards being an adult because he was like 18 and, you know, it was important. But I was more, felt like I'd lost the years of being a kid, so we didn't really click for about a year. And then we really bonded last year we started doing the tour. Well, we did one tour together and of 2 weeks in England, and then we had 2 months in America. But at the beginning of the tour, it started being quite troublesome with internet stuff going on and all that. But then also we both really bonded over David Lynch because he was quite a creative. We both really connected with the things he was saying in his masterclass. And then on the tour, we were very worried about being sick of each other. But actually, because we're very similar, a lot of the things where we butt heads actually... Over the years, we now join forces.
Yeah. So when we were younger, we used to butt heads.
We used to really butt heads in calls. And then now we're a bit older.
What do you think that butting heads was about then? And then what do you think changed?
do you want me to go over this? Yeah. Me and Tom are very similar. And he would find things that I would do annoying. But because they were things he would do.
Jack would like cut me off or like only talk about work and it pissed me off. And then I cut him off and only talk about work.
So. And I used to go, well, you do the same thing. And he used to go, no. And I think as you got older, you realized you did. And we found that we accept each other more.
We do.
So the cutting off thing was the thing that you did then to kind of, when you were pissed off with each other or with something?
No, I just have ADHD. So we didn't know that back then. We didn't know that at the time, but I just have a bad habit of cutting people off by mistake.
So we were going to ask a little bit about that as well.
Yeah.
How the ADHD comes into the friendship.
Well, this is quite, this is a very recent development.
Yeah.
So I suppose,
we had that vibe. After,
I mean, we always knew. But
having
like,
a diagnosis has been more recent,
hasn't
it?
Like
yeah,
a month ago or something like that. So I suppose as of yet, I'm still sort of figuring out the bits that are, you know, you're like, where does it come in? I'm like, I'm sure somewhere.
Well, where you just said, where you said,
that's,
you know,
one
you're
of them, for sure.
Cut off the conversation. Or...
Sometimes you get quite intense about stuff.
Yeah, I think it's just what I'm learning is it affects my social much more than I realised. And one of them is I cut people off quite bad. I try not to, but it's quite hard because I don't.
Is that because you're on to the next thing?
Yeah, most of the
time. Or because something's gone on in emotionally, as it were, between you and whoever?
Usually it's just someone's triggered a thought that I'm scared I'll lose. And then getting so absorbed in the thought, I've actually forgotten they were still speaking. Yeah. And then I've spoken. And then only then have I went, oh shit, they were still speaking.
Yeah. That's that hyperactivity in your mind,
it's just,
isn't
it's just
it?
Yeah. My brain's moving a bit quick.
Yeah.
So I just don't notice.
Having the diagnosis, has that helped you too?
Yeah.
In that you understand
has
it better?
It? That's more of a you question, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can sort of be like, Jack, this is why you're doing it. Not like, Jack, you're being rude. And also be a bit more forgiving.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes I like meet you and you weren't like, you didn't always ask me like how I'm doing. You'd just be
That's true. I'm very bad for forgetting to.
Or sometimes you'll talk, you know, when there's, you talk for enough time in a conversation, you know, when it's time to go, I'm going to throw it back to the other person.
Mm.
You don't have that.
I don't have that sense. I'm getting better at it, admittedly.
But what's good though is you can just cut off Jack and he doesn't like, he takes no offense, which most would. You know.
So because it's one of the things in a relationship, someone with ADHD, isn't it? That if you have a diagnosis, it's less personal. It becomes less
sure. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So. That's true.
Makes so much more sense of everything.
It's almost
it?
Helped more so the past year where Jack's thought he's had ADHD than actually the diagnosis.
The actual diagnosis wasn't as big as me realizing it, potentially.
Yeah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something though for people, you know, one of our podcasts is going to be on ADHD, isn't it? Mm. And I think it's really helpful for people to, you know, I think this is actually one of the things that we felt about you two is that you've done so much and some of the things that Miran has said about the feedback you've got, you know, like the comments or whatever, how you're making a difference.
People
to people
to
and how they can relate to you. And one of those was the ADHD, wasn't it? And I think this is something. Well, I think it's really important, actually, because for me, you know, I've got kids who are a little bit older. I've got 23 and a 26-year-old boys. Mm. And I think Gen Z don't get a good show from Gen X or, you know,
no.
boomers and whatever, because I think I love your generation. I think you've done so much that is stretching the envelope actually on all sorts of levels. And and I think you agree, don't you? Because Ali's got kids as well, a bit younger than mine, but, you know, youngsters. But this making a difference without you realising it in a way. You know, you've come from this YouTube place, haven't you? And you don't really realise necessarily then how much of a difference, knowing it more now.
See, this is us as well.
Yeah. I talk.
She talks.
Right.
Yeah.
I talk too much.
Did you watch the Jedward episode?
No.
Oh, you would love that. You would really do some therapy. I was picking up on it. I was picking up. I'm like, I reckon Edward wants John to shut up. And he won't.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, he's like a real...
Yeah, John had had a bit of Jaylees, hasn't he?
But John had a bit of Jaylees. Yeah. Not enough to warrant...
No, they were very...
And what I'll say is it's because it's passion. It's like, you know, I'm passionate about something.
Yeah,
I'll talk
I get
about
very
it.
Passionate.
So I get... I work with lots of people with ADHD. I mean, sure. As does Ali. And I can really relate to a certain... So we have definitely different wiring. Sure. Not that I'm ADHD, but I certainly...
We think differently.
We think differently. Yeah. But we really complement each other. And I think that's something that we've noticed about you two. You know, this lovely friendship that complements each other.
Do you think I've got, you know, summit...
Something?
Any of them.
Just keeping it broad.
I think I've got a bit of something.
You got something going on?
Would you like a bit of something?
What?
What would you like?
No, a bit of the, you know.
What do you think?
I don't
know
at
this point.
Anything of yourself?
I think you have.
I think, you know,
I think I really think I did. And then as Jack's been more open about his ADHD, I'm like...
Because ADHD can be show up differently, can't it?
Yeah, or autism or something. I don't. But when you've been more open about yours, I'm like, oh, I don't have. I've got like, I hope you don't mind me saying this. Maybe like, if your struggles are 100%, mine are maybe like 10% of that.
Right.
I often find like the more I've learned and been around people who actually definitely are diagnosed, I've been like, I don't think.
But there is varied severities. I mean, in my severity, if you recall, was diagnosed severe.
Yeah.
So I would be on the higher end of that.
Do you reckon?
But also neurodivergent people attracted to each other, aren't they? Drawn to each other.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I'm drawn to entirely neurodivergent people, so that would make...
You are, to be fair. It's very true. Yeah.
I think, you know, we've ultimately all got different wiring. It's just that sometimes it's something where, you know, it is a more diagnosable thing and has more research has been done on it and whatever else.
So you reckon I've got like a... bit little.
I wouldn't want to be in a position to say anything because I don't know you well enough. Yeah. But you know, I think there's something.
But you know
about,
yourself. Yeah, that's the thing. Say. You know yourself, and you know you can.
I bet I've got a sprinkle.
You got a sprinkling of it.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
My mum doesn't think.
I think I've got a sprinkling of it.
No.
But I bet
my mum didn't think I did.
Well, there you
and
go.
Then I got diagnosed, and then she went, "Oh, I think the problem was that I think I also,
yeah,
I think that's what
and that's what happens often. Yeah. Is a parent suddenly realizes.
Yeah. I definitely have a strong sense of justice. That's one I read online.
But I think you're right. It's the wire. It's everybody is wired differently, and people are starting to think about that now, aren't they?
You have a strong sense of justice. You just have a strong sense of when you've been wronged.
That is a strong sense of justice.
No, against yourself specifically.
Are we going back?
You don't have when it's other people, you don't.
No, I do. No, if someone really fucked over you, I'd be irritated.
We're men.
Aww.
That's the most pitiful.
No.
I've got a sense of if someone fucked over someone.
But this is values, isn't it? It's
values.
Like what you know, what's important to you.
Yes,
I have a strong sense of justice. I know what's right or wrong to me.
This is, yeah, here we are.
And I obviously I'd rather I wasn't wronged more than you because I'm me.
No, that's normal. But I do think I think you possibly don't always know when other people have been wronged.
Like when?
I can't think of an example right now. You said that and I thought, do you have a strong sense of justice or just a strong sense of not wanting to be upset yourself?
I don't have a strong sense of defending others. But I can identify when they've been wrong. So that doesn't mean I'm going to.
I think they're debating at the moment.
This is a bit of fun for me.
No, I think that's true. What you just said, but I think the issue, not the issue, but the part that was important was the bit where you said I don't have a strong urge to defend them.
No,
which
I do.
Think,
I do. I just take the piss.
I
don't know. Well, give us an example of when.
I don't know. I can't think. I just...
Sorry, we've tangented.
You have gone off on a bit of tangent.
It's all right. I just... You said that and I thought, do you have a strong sense of justice?
Well, maybe I don't have autism then. Because I have no...
Maybe that's what we should take away from. I don't know. Maybe I was harsh. Maybe it was a harsh judgment. I don't know.
He was harsh, but because he cares and loves me. And he wants me to be okay.
Indeed. And isn't that lovely? You're recognising your relationship again.
Yeah.
That connection of friendship is great.
Thank you.
We have a great connection of friendship.
We have a strong connection.
Yeah.
So
these days, yeah.
So yeah, something that's come in, so as your friendship has developed, you kind of had the time where you were sort of in a different space, perhaps younger, different stages of that. And then you've got together, and you were saying when you went on tour, because you've got another tour coming up, haven't you?
Yeah.
And so in terms of the tour that you went on before, you said actually it went really well between you.
Yeah.
So what does happen for you when you do... get in, you know, when you are away and you are noticing, I mean, it might be that you're just not even pissed off or whatever with the other, but you're feeling in a space where you need some space. What? How do you ask for that? What do you do?
You're a very blunt individual. I'll just say it.
Like Jack. I'm very good. As I've grown older, figured out nice ways of phrasing it. Like, whereas in the past, I might have gone, Jack, shut up now, please. I'll go, Jack, my social battery is depleted. I'm going to put on my headphones now. Don't take any offence.
Okay, so you'll communicate it very straightforwardly.
Yeah, I'm an incredible communicator, aren't I, Jack?
What about you, Dan?
You're a very straightforward communicator.
I'm very empathetic.
You're very good at communicating with people who take well to people who are straightforward.
I'm not blunt.
If you ever got with someone who wasn't good at bluntness, I think you would really struggle.
No. I'm not that. I'm only blunt with you because also it's a bit of jest. You know what I mean?
So maybe, how would you say it to somebody who you wouldn't be being blunt with?
Oh, like, hi, I'm really sorry. I think, you know, I'm quite tired and my social battery's down. I think I'm just going to put
my headphones. So you just add a little bit more of a fluffy bit.
A bit more nice, you know what I mean? A bit more really not wanting it to be, whereas Jack knows me well enough to.
I know you well enough, to be fair, when you do that, I'm like, oh, it's funny.
Yeah.
So what are likely to be the difficulties between you when you're travelling?
We're pretty solid, you know. I think especially last time, because I was having quite a troublesome time, so Jack sort of knew to step up a bit and be there for me. Do you know what I mean? So I think, but like now we kind of know what to talk about. We know when we don't want to talk about something and to move on, really, don't we?
I think honestly, a lot of that, you are very good at communicating. You just say exactly what you're thinking.
I'm an incredible communicator and I'm very honest, and I see the good in people, and I'm very optimistic in people. Not about everything, but I really am.
You said a moment there where you like affirmed yourself a lot.
Well, that's good, isn't it, guys?
Yeah. That was a really good.
It's good, isn't it, yeah. Dickhead?
No, I just liked it. You just sort of like, you like said, oh yeah, I'm very good at communicating and I'm a good listener and I'm very kind.
It is, you know, I don't know a lot about science or maths or like we were saying
that's
the other week.
Do you find that hard? Because I think you do know more about science, don't you?
I do know a little bit more about science.
And is that something that, you know, you feel in any way kind of...
Does that come between you?
You know what? I probably never talk. It definitely, because in school I was always at the bottom of all the top sets, so I always felt like a bit dumb compared to everyone. So definitely now I've found some in creativity that I'm like actually good at and excel at. It definitely de-incentivizes me to learn about leaves and shit.
Yeah.
Inside of a leaf. Do you know what I mean?
But it doesn't bother you then that Jack.
It doesn't bother me that Jack's really smart. No, but
because that was one of the things I think I noticed. Is that Jack?
How are you going to ask that?
You can go down quite a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
With general knowledge and information. You're obviously quite clever.
Thank you.
And then you bring in humour, Tom.
Well, yeah. Thank you. I'm the funny one.
I think you're both extremely bright guys.
The dynamic that I've seen.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
I can get slightly more interested in digging into things in a way that if you're not interested, you just won't.
I'm quite, yeah.
Well, which is going to be your wiring as well, isn't it? Because you're going to have that hyper-focus.
Yeah, I suppose.
If Jack's into something, and I'm also into it, wicked. If Jack's into something, like we've had like 4-hour chats about Tyler, the Creator, do you know what I mean? But like if he's really into something and I'm not into it, I'll just kind of make jokes until he's like...
If
someone else in the room is into it, I'll try and find a way to be in, or I'll just, I don't know, like zone out and think.
Because when we had Tubbo on, you would have seen, this episode's not live yet, but it will be by the time this comes out. We had that long chat about the impact of...
That was ridiculous though.
He was talking about... This was quite...
No, even you can acknowledge that. Tubbo and Jack got into this crazy long tangent about if fucking... It was like built off like three hypotheticals about like diseases and
you said to someone, what is the future of technology, and he said the thing he fears the most is easy consumer and prosumer availability of technologies for
I'm
lost already.
Basically, he used very big words to be fair. Basically, it was just like, he doesn't like how easy it is to get hold of things for like genetic engineering and bioengineering. He thinks that's like scary, and people probably, like bioweapons are really easy to make because like any old guy can go on eBay and buy like biochemical shit.
But also, I'm on a podcast here. I'm going to be doing little jokes because I need to be entertaining. In real life, I might have asked. What I usually do is if someone's on about something that I'm not interested in, I try and ask, I'm generally always curious. So I try and ask questions of ways that I am interested in. And if there's truly none, I just zone out or move on the subject quite quickly.
Which is fair enough, isn't it? I mean, and I guess that's the same thing in some respects for you. If you are on a subject that isn't of interest to you, if it's like a boring thing that someone's talking about, I guess then you won't necessarily go down that rabbit hole, will you?
Probably not. I would imagine not. I'm quite good at finding something that'll interest me about a lot of things.
Yeah, but, me too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There is so much that's interesting, isn't it? And people are interesting and things
there's
are
usually an element that's interesting.
I mean, I think that's what we find in our work. It's like, you know, people are fascinating and
everyone's so different.
And the human condition is incredible.
I think if I wasn't going to be in YouTube, definitely one avenue I'd be so interested in would be therapy.
I was going to ask you both, if you weren't in this industry, what job would you choose?
I would be doing
that's different to what I would be doing.
Okay, so what you did there was cut me off and it upset me, and I can be forgiving because I know you're
right.
Because I know you got something wrong with you.
Right.
That was a little joke there.
What she was saying, I was getting intrigued.
Okay, that's okay, and I love you and I forgive you, but it was wrong and I need justice. What was I? Oh yeah, I was very interested in therapy and the human condition. I find that fascinating. I did volunteering with my mum with adults with learning disabilities, mm-hmm. and that was, I could have done that forever. I love that jazz music. I really loved being. I could have really.
So you could have been a music therapist.
Yeah. I found that very fascinating when you said that. Probably realistically, I would have gone to uni, studied film and done editing because I loved editing when I was younger and like YouTube. That was great. I still love it. Mm. What about you?
I mean, realistically, because I already had a job prior to this. So I was working IT support. I was training to become a software engineer.
Okay.
So I probably would have realistically carried on with that. However, given how I feel now, I would definitely prefer to be doing something creative. But I don't think I ever would have realized that until I was doing it. I never would have told you I was a creative person.
Really?
Never. No, I would have never described myself as a creative
person. Fucking hell.
Like, until I started doing this, I was like, oh, wait.
That's mad.
I find such passion in creative venture. I don't know where that...
I can't imagine you not as a creative person.
Well, I think I was. I just think I would have self-labeled, you know. Like,
yeah,
I didn't
recognise it.
Yeah, I didn't recognise it.
How did you express it then by then?
I think I did. I think it was just inward. I think I just sort of... I don't know.
Well, in some ways, I wonder also if you think that you've had ADHD all along, if you've been diagnosed now, you would have had it as a child. It's not something you've suddenly got.
Yeah. No.
And so I wonder also if the fact that, you know, your hyperactivity perhaps is in your mind, you know, in your brain, like how fast it's working, everything else, whether there was actually a creativity that was going on within you, in your head, with the way that your wiring is and the way that you think, that was perhaps stimulating enough for you whilst you were doing the things that weren't necessarily as creative.
Potentially. That's, I wouldn't really know.
That was W therapy. That was awesome.
I don't really know. I don't really remember. I don't have a great memory.
No.
I have like a sort of really strange...
Yeah, hypothesis.
Memory. Like of like of things not really like... I'm not very good at remembering how I thought or felt about things, rather exact details of stuff. So I wouldn't know how I occupied that.
So you just fell into the creative side of things with your...
Completely, absolutely by accident.
Yeah.
And then realised like, oh, wait, this is like a really fulfilling, like, oh, this is like something I've been missing out on. And so now, I mean, I love film, probably would try and work somewhere in that industry if I could, but but I was going to be a software engineer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
What's your next question then?
We're doing. Yeah,
you're loving this, aren't you? This is pretty sick.
Anxiety.
You not even looked at your clip, but you put it on the floor.
Yeah, mate.
We have some.
Nah, your questions are way better.
Maybe it is time to ask them what, because I had a big one that I was really interested in.
No.
But you guys, obviously, I would say relationship experts. I think that's reasonable to say.
Experts, we struggle a little bit with the word expert.
Yeah.
No,
not just on a personal level. I mean, it is on a personal level, but also, yeah, because I suppose the nature of our work is that, you know, like if you were our clients, you would be the expert.
You're the
on
expert.
You.
Okay,
we
sure.
We help you.
Agreed.
Understand.
But luckily, I'm talking about general relationships here, this question. I was just curious. It's probably more of a personal thing than a sort of professional opinion thing, but that's fine.
Okay.
I wondered if you believed in soulmates, the idea that people have like a person who they are destined to meet through whatever means, or do you think that anyone can make a relationship work with anybody else, so being they're willing to put the work in with that person?
I don't believe in soulmates.
Okay.
Or
I'd agree. I don't either.
Yeah.
That's fine.
What do you believe in? Why?
I believe that there are many people that you can click with. And I believe that you find people that resonate with you and then you make that relationship work. Love is a verb, isn't it? It's a doing word. You do love, you don't just feel it.
Okay.
Oh.
That's nice. I like that.
It's
like
a good
that.
One, isn't it?
That is very good.
Because it's really helpful to hold that in mind, isn't it? When you're helpful. In any relationships.
You don't just fall in love and that's it, you're done.
You'll have the feelings of that. There will be feelings because you've got the chemical things going on. And then in the first sort of year or so of a relationship, you've got kind of all the blind spots because of the chemicals going through your body of how you feel. So there are feelings that are included, but actually when it comes into the actual relationship, that's where it becomes
awesome.
The verb.
Can I ask you a question? You said in your notes that we saw before we started filming that we use humour to cope. Or something along those lines. It's interesting.
Well, wondered.
Can we explore that? Because even having you guys on, I'm feeling myself get a bit more immature and silly to like make it less weird.
I have noticed. I laugh. Have you noticed the laugh I've been doing just randomly?
People do though, don't they? When we're uncomfortable, I get the giggles, don't I?
Yeah.
When we're doing our podcast.
Yeah.
Because it's serious. Because we're having to be on. I get the giggles.
Can we explore that a bit?
Sure.
I just want to know what you guys think and. Go down questions and avenues.
Well, I think that we all have strategies of being able to manage more difficult emotions. Mm-hmm. And in relationships or, you know, whatever, friendships, in those interactions, if things are uncomfortable, we will go to something that we've probably learned as a good strategy of survival, of protection, if you like. Mm. And so what we look at, because one of our trainings is as emotionally focused therapists, what that's based in is basically attachment theory. And so it's looking at how our early attachments have impacted our current relationships, how we interact in our adulthood. So our past having a bearing on our present. And so we will have learned things through our lives about how we manage certain situations. It's not just about, you know, our parents. It's about the environment we're brought up in, our genetics partly, our personality partly, schooling. You know, all our experiences in our life inform us and help us kind of find our way through to where we are.
But for example, humour can be, it's quite commonly learned at school. So if you're someone who struggled at school, maybe academically.
I did.
But you found that humour was your way.
This is mad.
Humour might have been your way of being accepted and liked.
It was.
So.
Okay, can I ask you two different questions that have popped into my head?
Can I just ask you before you do, how is that hearing that?
Exciting.
Yeah? You find it exciting?
I enjoy knowing more about myself.
Yeah.
Can I ask you two questions? One, so I had quite a difficult year last year.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidentally, it was also the year that I really invested myself in stand-up comedy. You know, quite obsessively, like traveling 4 hours to do 5-minute sets every week.
Wow.
Do you think that is a coincidence or do you think that's actually because I was having a difficult year and that's how one gets into it?
What do you think?
Well, let me ask my second question because I forgot it.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, bollocks, man. I hate forgetting a question. This is why I need a pencil.
It'll come back.
Thank you.
Yeah. Why don't you slow down and just tell us around?
Because I got excited. I want to get all the questions.
So I can understand that. But in terms of and thinking about that, though, you know, you asked us a question about humour. So
remember the question.
Okay, go for it.
You know how you explore lots of stuff in your childhood, like when you're a kid and you have those sort of core events? Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm like 50 or 60, do you think
our 20s would still be considered our childhood, and I'll be exploring things from now as the effect they had on me in like 34 years time? Or is it pretty locked in your childhood? Just because I've had a lot of big things happen in the past like year, like parents splitting up, for example, or like, you know, that sort of thing.
I think that it's all of it.
Any time.
Okay.
It doesn't matter when it is. It's really? Just that, you know, it's from the beginning onwards, anything that's prior to where we are now.
Wicked.
They say that the first, 5 years shape a lot of your sort of attachment
experiences
and the way you learn to attach to people. But everything you experience is making up who you are, isn't it? So yeah, now will be that too.
Yeah.
You were, I don't know, with you, but were both when you were 15 in this world. So you kind of missed a big chunk of your development.
Yeah, and
by
COVID
being into
as well.
Exactly. And with COVID.
Yeah.
Huge thing.
Well, we had it in a weird way. We did.
Yeah.
I think it's different development is what I would call it, rather than missing it, if that makes sense.
Help us understand.
No. I when I was 17, I felt a great longing and sadness in me that I missed out when all my friends were going partying and I was grinding Skyblock subscribers. By the time I was 17, I was like, it probably
I was a little older than you.
Yeah, Jack started on the internet. He started 17. At 17 and
not,
got popular okay. at 18.
Not much, but it's enough.
Yeah. I got popular at 15, it's so it was quite. It was different pressures at a different time, I think.
But it's that time of sort of finding out who you are, trying different things.
Mm. Experimentation.
So, what, to go back to the comedy thing, so you get into comedy when you're funny at school?
It's about whether it's about whether
what,
it's
what
going to be...
Again?
Sorry. Oh no, that you sort of like danced around a bunch of like ideas and strung them together weirdly. It was like, I was like, oh, nearly. Sorry. So, shouldn't have laughed. It just made me chuckle.
So horrible, wasn't it? Coming back to the humour thing then. So it sounded like it made sense to you that actually for you at school,
it did.
It was something where humour was really helpful for you. It was a helpful way of maybe feeling like you were belonging more, not sort of on the outside. I don't know. Yeah. Is that some of that?
Especially in some lessons I was with my mates, but unlike most of my mates who were all dead smart, I had like science. I was in, it's so weird because I've been thinking about this loads lately, that's why it's like, oh,
have you?
It's been on my mind a lot. Well, I was in like a lower set science, so I didn't have like any of my close mates, so it was a lot more unusual.
So were they all in the upper science then?
Yeah, so
well, this is interesting
when
then,
I was,
isn't it,
and
if
I put
you
in
think
a
about
lot more
what you two are like
to be funny,
because I was in.
So if you think you've in a way, you could say part of your attraction with your friendship is that this is familiar, because we are often drawn to familiar.
Sure, yeah.
Sometimes that could be a negative thing, sometimes it could be a positive thing. Mm. But there's an interesting...
But I definitely remember in order to fit in with the popular kids, like I'd be funnier, or just fit in with anyone really, that I just have to put a lot more effort in to make people... And then that's...
But then that's great, because it's meant that you're here now.
Yeah, it's work.
Doing this.
Yeah. And that's the thing I think that's really important with those strategies.
Is that bad though?
No, because I think there's something around those strategies of survival that we've learned. It's whether they're, you know, for instance, some people have to kind of learn to bring themselves up a bit by their own bootstraps. You know, they're kind of having to be more independent for whatever circumstances that might be in their home when they're being brought up. So they learn to be very independent, or that there are certain things where emotionally maybe their needs aren't met when they're a child so much. They learn to be self-sufficient, learn to be more independent, for example. And so it's okay. I can finish this point.
She's coming off.
So
it's all right.
So
I feel
I think
man.
This is important because
not about you going on about Jack. I wasn't saying you were anyway.
What? I'm going to lose my thread. I'll lose my thread. So anyway, so basically I think it's like out of that, there's sometimes where there's the independence that one has learned is fantastic. It's meant that you've done whatever in your life to be able to manage on your own or whatever, using this example. But at what cost? And so there might be another side where is it useful to you all the time to be independent? Does it mean therefore you lose connections with other people if you're always independent, or do you not want to get close to somebody?
Because like, can I say something deep to you? I struggle. This is going to sound weird, to like not be funny, to be around a group of people and switch it off. Like I really find that hard to like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you do it because we see it here. You know, we've.
Yeah, but I guess this
don't
is
tell
good.
Him that or panic. If you tell him he's not been funny on the podcast, he'll freak out.
No, but this is just this is like a value. You know, there's a value in, you know, not everyone's like a therapist who can fucking, you know, provide a load of massive insights. You know, I mean, just like a casual group gathering, you know, if I'm not like being funny, I feel weird.
Weird in what way?
unrelaxed. Like,
So isn't that lovely? I mean, both of you are so self-aware. I mean, this is something that's really striking through all the things that we've seen, you know, just sort of getting to know you really this last week. You know, we didn't know you before at all, I'm afraid, because it's out of our world. But, and lovely to get to know you, you know, in the way, a little bit that we are. And I've lost my thread. What was I saying?
Something like we're like wicked and you're like massive fans.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it was.
Because of watching the podcast a lot.
I can't remember.
I've done therapy for like 5 years since 2021.
Okay.
That's four. So I was very, for like a couple months, not up for it. Then I started. I remember like having in my notes like, oh, so there's this thing, anxiety, and I like didn't even know. So for me, it's been like I've done it weekly, like every
good week. For you. And I mean, that's what's so lovely. I mean, we wish that therapy was available to everybody, but it's not something that lots of people can afford. Mm. And this is one of the reasons why we're doing the podcast, isn't it? Because our own podcast, because we're not particularly people who want to be in front of microphones or whatever.
Yeah.
But we're passionate, both of us, about putting the message out to help people, basically.
Just getting information out.
Getting information out.
So even like that, you know, just talking to you there and saying about humour can be something that you learned as a way of coping.
Should one try and unlearn that and find healthier ways? Is that good?
Not unlearn it, but maybe recognise where it's covering up something else.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And where you want to use it.
Yeah, sure.
And this is where I was saying about the two things, you know, using the example of independence, you know, that actually, you know, it's great, it works. But here, like Ali says, when you notice, am I covering something up? What's underneath?
Yeah.
What are you covering up? And how can you be with yourself perhaps differently in that moment?
Yeah.
Bit deep.
So no, other people, you know, there's other people your age.
The least I've ever talked on a podcast. Sorry.
You're very quiet, Jack.
Did a lot of listening.
A lot of listening today.
But kind of, I don't know about you, Jack, but some people, if they are very academically gifted, that becomes their thing. That becomes their comfort place, and that can be overused.
That
was weird, Jack, to step away from. That was obviously.
No, you're well into shit now.
But I existed completely within an academic space for the longest time. Like when I was at work, when I was doing the IT support, like we just all like the conversation was like about computer shit. Like, you know, we were just we all just spoke about computer shit and like really nerdy shit. And like it was definitely a little bit weird to step away from a space, because in school I was like one girl who was a bit smarter than me, and then that was it. Like I was like top of the class, you know, pretty much always. So then it was, I guess, entering a space where that literally holds no sway was a little bit weird.
Yeah,
I don't think I adapted to it poorly. I guess I don't think I put much conscious thought to it. But yeah, I suppose sometimes I do have these moments of like, it's very weird, because I think I took a lot of pride in that. And that holds absolutely no sway over my life anymore, which is very weird.
Can I ask a question that's sort of to do with what we were talking about in our last episode in the Patreon? So me and Jack, right, on YouTube, God, we usually save this sort of deep sort of shit for the Patreon, but and we had so many questions as well that were a bit silly, and now I just can't.
So did we.
So, okay. Which is very valuable. I just find this fascinating.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Like, you know, with YouTube, so I've been doing it for about 7 years, Jack about 5. And on the internet, when you sort of post videos, it's then quite quickly rewarded with, you know, this video is performing well, it's getting X amount of views, it's getting more than less, it's getting less than usual, you know. And I think, so we had like a proper surge in popularity, and then
I'll speak for Jack here, but I've found the sort of past 4 years since quite unsettling, where it's not been straight up. And at least I've found it really like, you know, there's a very reasonable part of my brain that knows I want to go and do comedy, for example, and do that. But there's always a bit of a chirping like, oh, but should you be doing, getting this like more, should you be getting, you know, more subscribers and doing what YouTube's saying to do? And I found that very troubling. Do you think that links to maybe, I don't know if Jack feels the same, but for Jack, the fact that he did well in school and it's that same sort of feeling, or for me that I didn't do well in school and it's like now I'm doing well at something. And like, is it really that linked to school? Is that?
Are you talking about feeling that way because of the subscribers increasing and then?
But yeah, you feel like you have to maintain, because you have like a month where that's happening and then you stop maintaining it, and then it's sort of linked to your identity and value around yourself.
And at a formative age.
Yeah, you know, when I was like 15 to 17. Yeah. So I found that really troubling to navigate. Even as consciously, I'm like, not only is this a system that doesn't serve me and feels unhealthy, you know, it feels like ridiculous, the idea that things are just valued by how many people are watching them. Mm-hmm. Even though I can consciously think that, it doesn't stop me, like, before bed being feeling uneasy.
Yeah.
You know? I think
I don't know what brain scans have been done on this, but neurochemically, I think those likes and subscribers and that increasing does something, doesn't it?
It's the dopamine, sort of dopamine, isn't it? Dopamine hit, which is an interesting one with ADHD. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like a reward thing. And you it think feels
that,
good.
Because to me, I feel quite solemnly, especially having been through all the extreme ends of being a really extreme viewer of someone and being super, super obsessed with them, being a super extreme content creator and having, like, you know, the world looking at me when I was like 16. Now I've kind of had that hindsight and all perspective. I'm like, I think generally this is like unhealthy and weird. Like, how do you guys feel about social media? And I even think, if you have kids, do you like?
Well, yeah. I mean, my kids are a bit unusual in so much as they weren't, but they'll barely have a mobile phone, let alone any social media. I mean, I don't know whether it's just because of the, I don't know whether it's because we're not particularly into it or whatever, but actually my younger son, he did game, and then he got to 15, and then I was always like, oh, come on, get out, get some fresh air. And then he got into skateboarding and hasn't stopped doing that, and he's a drummer and whatever, so he's out and about. Cool, so, you know, we're a bit of the Von Trapp family, aren't we? And do you know the Von Trapps?
No.
Sound of Music?
No.
No.
Not
way,
really.
Way, 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 way before your time. Anyway, I think there's always this concern from our generation, because we don't understand. It's through our own ignorance and not understanding the digital world, if you like, the social media world. It wasn't, you know, I didn't have a mobile when I was a kid. And so it's something that we have had to learn more about. But I think when we have ignorance, when we don't know something, we can feel fearful of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we've had to do as parents, wouldn't you say, with our kids, and understanding that social world and also the social media world and the social media pressures on youngsters.
It's terrible. Well, I really do.
I think there's probably about balance, isn't it? I guess, because I'm sure there's some really good things about it. Because if you think of people who feel very lonely or who are isolated or whatever, I don't know.
And you've obviously, you know, got some fans and followers that really benefit from you two being open about things.
You are particularly pessimistic about it all at the minute.
But I think because you're experiencing the worst residue maybe of my bad year.
Yeah, I think, possibly just unpacking the worst of the emotion. Like what
true.
It is,
I you
think
know what I mean?
What I've realised about the conversation we've been having recently is, I think you've unpacked this a lot, like the whole experience. I think you've lived in a state of overwhelm a lot longer than I did, perhaps. And you've possibly unpacked a lot of the emotions.
We had quite different experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think...
lived in a state of overwhelm, you said.
No. Where was I going? I think you've potentially only recently started to fully settle into those emotions, because you were saying things are starting to feel more normal and stuff. And I think this is also possibly the first time you've managed to, in processing all the overwhelm, begin to recognize the negative aspects of it.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think potentially you're right now quite overwhelmed. It was like you were all overwhelmed in the goodness of it. And then you've sort of now that's subsided. Now you're like feeling all overwhelmed by all the bad side is what I...
Yeah,
seem to think. Like, I think you potentially...
He doesn't need us here.
No.
Sorry.
No.
The more you've spoken about it, the more I've like realised, I think right now you're very consumed in like, this is bad. And I think, I don't think anything you're saying is wrong at all. I think all of it is like very valid. But I also think you're very blind to, because it is now finally settled.
Yeah.
That high is like not,
I think I'm possibly not thinking about the positives it can have on others than just me. And I'm used to the positives, but at least for me in my life, the negatives suddenly feel
well, a lot more
potent.
Well, you spoke about, you know, you've spoken, so we both, I think, saw your, do you call it square?
Square
video.
Really?
Of you in going to Switzerland.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, and you spoke really openly about your anxiety and what you were going through. And, you know, for us, we love that. We love the openness. And this is, again, a thing I think that you have in your generation that we didn't have as much.
Yeah,
you have this real openness, which is so lovely.
Yeah.
And you know, we're, again, with anxiety, with Ali, what's, you know, Ali's saying about people who are your, what do you call them? People who follow
followers?
You? Followers, is it?
Listeners?
Yeah. People I wouldn't even be
viewers.
Your viewers,
yeah,
whatever,
viewers
or what listeners, whatever. That, you know, this is really helpful for people to see the human side of somebody who, my son introduced me to the word a parasocial relationship the other day.
Yes.
Do you know that? He would know it, I wouldn't.
Mm.
But, you know, that where it's a sort of one-way relationship.
Yeah.
And you're doing something then that's so human that you're sharing parts. And when you've done that, even, you know, together here, you pepper, don't you, your podcasts with such personal bit parts.
Yeah.
People are seeing you, and I think that makes a huge difference, because it then enables other people to reach out maybe for a bit of support.
Really?
I think so, because especially, I mean, you know, we're a real departure from your normal guest, aren't we?
Yeah,
that's very true.
You're not Jedward.
We're not Jedward.
Thank God.
Oh, don't be rude.
They were lovely. They were amazing.
But, you know, that to us is, you know, what a great invitation. You know, an invitation for us in so much as, you know, that's a privilege for us to be here and hear your stories, as it were, and learn more about you. And also to be able to get that something out for us, you know, that we really want our podcast to make a difference to people too. So that, you know, people who do struggle with anxiety and can't afford to go to therapy, you know, they can tune into Relational Lives and they'll kind of hopefully find something about it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a really important part to all of this for me.
One thing I wonder though is, because your generation are very good at recognizing these things, kind of giving these them a name, anxieties.
Oh, like emotions.
Neurodivergence, sure. Okay. Emotions.
Oh, okay.
Do you feel like, whilst you know how what the label is or what you're dealing with, do you feel like you know what to do with it?
Because
you talked about being anxious.
You know, like, yeah, but not like because of therapy and because of books I've read, not because of Twitter or fucking, I've ever seen online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because you've had therapy, you understand how to manage your anxiety, manage your overwhelm.
Yeah, but even then it's difficult.
Yeah.
But I think we're possibly in slightly more unique circumstances than. But that, well, I say that, but not really. Like, you know,
I think a lot of people, a lot of people are struggling with all of that in different ways, whether it be coming out of uni, different things, but the same kind of struggles.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. Sorry.
What are your thoughts around it?
I don't know. I had a bit of therapy years ago. I remember when it was now, a few years ago, before I was doing all this. And then very briefly after, I sort of had therapy when, this is going to sound silly, but I went in with quite an explicit goal. So I was like, cool, completed it. Then left was great. This started, that sort of unwound a little bit. So I went back, did a little bit more, fixed it. And then onwards.
So it was a kind of...
I was a very, very anxious person for a very long time.
You were?
Debilitatingly so.
Okay.
And...
Gosh, that sounds hard. You've both had these experiences, haven't you? You saying, Tom, in the last few years, you know, to say debilitating, I mean, that's hard.
I mean, yeah, at that point, it was.
It's when you were much younger, wasn't it?
Yeah, when started when I was sort of like about 11 and then sort of went on until I was... Probably about 18. It probably give or take
such
a little bit.
A long
bit.
Time, though.
So it was a long time. And it sort of went in sense of being better and worse, obviously. But I would say it was ever lingering, at least for a long time. And that but I could never tell you what exactly clicked. I don't really know. I think my thing was I put a lot of pressure on myself, and I still do, but I think I learned
academically through school.
That's good. Ish. I mean, yes, but no. It's subjective, right? Because like I would expect myself to be as the best, but also like admittedly that didn't come with that much difficulty for me. Like it was a relatively natural thing. So I did hold that expectation on myself, but I also often fulfilled it. So it was like,
so you don't get to fail though, do you?
No,
that was because
you said that to me on, you said it on the podcast before, that when we sort of had that slope at the end of 2021 going into 2022, where we stopped getting as many, you know, views.
Yes.
That for you was like fail.
That was the first time I'd ever really failed at anything.
And that's what's really hard, isn't it? Because if you have that expectation that, you know, you're achieving, and you actually find it quite easy. And I think a lot of people can find this when they go from GCSEs to A-levels or A-levels to uni, yeah. That there can be something where they've found it all sort of relatively, you know, they sail through it straightforward. They're achieving. And then suddenly something slightly different and they don't know how to deal with that.
But it's a bit like what Tom was saying then about, you know, having all your subscribers and likes and everything. And then
this is what pissed me off. You tell, you know, like 14-year-old Jack that 800,000 people are watching his video, he'd shit himself. But then when you tell him that now, and it used to be, you know, a couple million people, then it feels like a failure. And it's like, just how like, but then it just takes you away from the moment of like, even now it's something like, I've had to like, been off social media for the past year because it just is something that will be in my head of just that like just constant sort of negative reframing from social media.
And I don't think it's just on our side of it, like as a creator side. I think it literally exists as a sort of field of comparison where like everything
when I was a kid being like, oh, the popular kids get 50 likes on Instagram, I'm getting 20.
Exactly.
Like it's weird.
It is just like it exists to make things every aspect public and therefore allow for comparison. Because even on the level of like, even if you're not looking at the analytics, because you're an analytically focused person, but not everyone will be. And like, but like people will just look at like lifestyle creators and be like, my life is not that life. And like, I think that's,
and I know it's not just us, the fault. It's like Bo Burnham's done like whole specials just about this one thing. And it's like, I don't want this to also fucking take up my life, but I can't help that like the older I'm getting, the more it's troubling me.
The more, which part's troubling you?
Just, well, what Jack's saying about the negatives of social media. Really.
But do you think that's almost like you were saying, Jack, that like a burnout that you've had from being in this?
Yeah, probably.
That it's just overwhelmed you, almost got too much. And
yeah, I think I had a lot of years where I was only like, oh my God, I'm meeting all my heroes and everything's awesome. And then it's been a few years and I'm like, oh.
Well, and with difficult things happening as well along the way, you know, you break up, your parents divorce, you know, it's like they're big things to kind of process, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also within the social media sphere as well, there was other things.
We've not had the ideal time.
No, I think the problem is that because that's when it started. That is when it started.
Yeah.
Like, I remember you telling me distinctly that you were sick of it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the moment. And it's been since then.
I remember it in the marina. Yeah,
at the marina. Like, there was a moment.
Hell, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, there was a moment where you made this decision. And I don't think this is something you're going to go back on. I do think a lot of the points you've made and the direction you wish to go creatively do mean that I don't think this is the right thing for you anymore. But, and it not in a,
so,
not
do you know what? That, he said it perfectly. But I just, it feels like a bit of a shame. Because it really was the right thing for me for so many years.
But isn't that just normal development as well? Normal changes?
But it's difficult. I'm sure people face this in their career when so much of like your identity is like tied to it, you know?
Yeah.
Especially for me from a young age.
Yeah.
And I'm finding it quite disorientating now.
Absolutely.
A bit older.
At a time where, you know, if you think of those years in developmental stages terms, you are finding your identity.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's happening in those later teen, you know, sort of 16 onward years. Isn't it? You know,
But if it's become such a part of your identity as well, but the normal process of things is that we go into it and we want to move through it, don't we? I think that's natural.
I think it is. I think the difficulty is when we haven't done something we needed to do at a certain stage, because I think then sometimes we need to find a way of going through it, even if it's later on. So if we haven't gone through a certain stage developmentally that in a way we're supposed to do, where mm-hmm. is that going to catch you up? So if people haven't been doing what they need to do in terms of experimenting and trying out different relationships in those years, mm-hmm. then and they don't do any of that, is that going to catch them up later on in, yeah. when they're older, you know, midlife crisis or something, you know, sure. and start experimenting.
Yeah, because I think we're both feeling the like, you know, fucking becoming businessmen in our teens, now early 20s, were like, that's bullshit. We should be fucking making weird, you know, because most yeah. people our age would be at uni making weird art films.
I heard you say in one of the podcasts, one of the things that I noticed, you said, I just want to be 20, a 20-year-old lad, you know.
I'd like to, but yeah.
And that's a real dilemma, isn't it?
Because well, you just end up with all this, like, here's the thing, I don't want to appear like a dickhead or ungrateful, because it is wicked,
yeah,
and, you know, we're really fortunate, and there's so many pros that I've gotten used to, and, you know, like obvious stuff like money that I was 15 when that started, so I haven't like been able to think about it. But you just end up with all these responsibilities that you didn't sign up for, that you can't feel like you can let go of. Expectations of yourself and what that means, and you know, you decide like, oh, I'm gonna get to however many subscribers or what, you know, it could be anything or make anything, and then it's hard to let go of that.
Sure.
And then also sort of pressures from a real eye-opening thing for me was we went to this like a YouTube summit, and sort of it was like, oh my god, it's not like I'm doing this on myself, it's like also I'm making loads of money for a company. And I think that suddenly you're like, oh, hang on, I was like 15 making a load of money for a company. Like you sort of ill, almost protective over your younger self feeling kicks in, and then you're a bit like, well, it's disorientating, right? Yeah. You know,
I love that. I love when you said you're protective over your younger self.
Yeah.
And that's something I think we, you know, in therapy, that's the kind of thing that we're wanting people to kind of get in touch with, I suppose, the parts of themselves where if there is something where they feel whatever they feel that's negative or whatever about themselves, and then bringing in actually this wiser adult self, if you like, more kind of compassionate part that can actually just be there with that younger self. So, you know.
It's the relationship, you know, you have with yourself, isn't it?
More relation. We were going to get onto this.
Yeah.
Self relationships. But I'll be honest, the way I worded it is now too silly.
We've got so many silly questions.
No, because I fully.
Jack had one.
Just I had like some very.
Jack had one. I'm just going to read to you. This is going to be on the Patreon now. I'd like to talk about sex, but don't know what to say. That was.
No,
Jack.
What? No.
We're very happy talking about sex.
My exact thing was. My exact thinking there was, you've really dobbed me in, that isn't fair. In the meeting, we were like, what can we speak to these guys about? And we were all digging into all sorts to do with relationships and all this stuff. And I'm like, they probably know a lot about sex. I wonder what they'd have to, I wonder what their advice is for sex. But also, I don't really actually have a specific question. It was just a sort of passing thought. So Tom wrote it in the notes as my passing thought. So I don't have anything for. I'm sorry to report. I don't have any specific questions. It was more just an acknowledgement of the fact that you probably know something, and there's probably something there to learn. But fuck if I know what it is. You know?
We can talk about it. We can.
Is it something you want to say?
There's nothing I want to say. This is the problem.
It sounds like you look like you're a bit awkward.
Well, I definitely dob me in this sort of.
So when he dobs you in.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I'm holding myself together.
I'm open. You know, I can talk.
I'm open to talking about sex.
I'm comfortable.
Don't like being dobbed in.
Well, it was more. I didn't think now was the time to move on to the sex talk. Nor do I feel like I felt like I was learning so much, and I just don't feel like I'm currently looking for sex knowledge.
Okay, maybe that can be another episode.
Yeah. No, maybe. How? What?
You?
Sure. What? How would you start?
How do you start sex?
No, not sex. No. Oh, sorry.
Well, what? Yeah, now I've done myself in.
How do you start?
No, I'm talking about sex, but now I'm realising I've dobbed myself in, and now I'm getting all weird.
This is what I mean.
It's difficult, Jack. I'm sorry. It's more difficult than I imagined.
It's awful what you did, because it was just an acknowledgement. All I was making was like, look, if there's anything we have about sex, these guys are probably the people, but.
But you haven't got any questions for us.
I don't. I just don't.
Well, maybe you can come up with some and we can kind of...
We can have a think. Maybe we'll take that to the Patreon. Maybe we'll have a think about sex during the break. And I don't know if that is... that weird to say? Maybe during the break we'll think about sex?
It's not too hard. Like, quite the tone shift in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know why you did it. This is on you. This is definitely on...
Right.
I was talking about the one where I said, can you have a good relationship with yourself?
Yeah.
But
I said that's a stupid question because the answer is yes, and I've done fine.
But
yes,
I think
can you
at
have
the
a
time,
bad one with yourself?
I'll be honest. Yeah. I thought at the time that this would be a more lighthearted conversation about relationships instead of what was quite a big therapy session. So I thought it would be a funny pivot, but now, given the introspective chat we've had, it just sounds
sorry.
We've got some funny pivots as well.
Oh, great!
Yeah.
Well,
and that yes,
go more of that to come. But yeah. First.
I must
pivot your attention to the worm because we do have a tradition where every week we check how the worm is doing, and this is your responsibility now.
I know you're thinking, why do we have the worm?
Just check how the worm's doing. Have a look for him. He's
find the worm.
Well. Also, we think there might be two, and potentially they might be in a relationship, so maybe you can really comment
on that.
So is
this like, you know, you get a present, like a gift, you know, like...
Do we get to take it home?
No, we keep it.
Like, yeah. If you find
it's ours.
It.
You just have to find it and sort of tell us how it looks, if you can. If you can't pass it back, I'll find him.
That was basically therapy, it's, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was basically...
It sort of
it's
got
fine,
away.
And it was fun, but at the same time...
Sort of got away
it was,
from...
It was weird when you... You just mentioned the sex at the end.
Yeah, sorry, man.
I just made me look like a dirty, dirty perv boy.
It was your dirty, weird pervert question. I made it more funny.
I want
really
to be mature.
This is the main. This isn't even the Patreon.
Can't find it. No, that's fine. Let me have a look. There he is. Same spot as last week. Isn't that weird? We definitely didn't record both the episodes in the same day. Yeah, he's right there just chilling still. A whole week he's been there. Wow. Well, let's move on that quickly.
Maybe it's his comfort zone.
We have a lot to talk about on the Patreon. A lot to talk about.
Yeah, we actually have like so. We got so many.
I guess we'll think about sex. I guess we'll look in these funny pivots.
Think about.
I guess we'll. You know, I've got a question for you guys about the fact, and you're not doing it now. And I think it's because you knew I was going to ask this. Tom, on all the episodes, has to get the last word in. Have you ever watched them to the very end? If you notice, he always. I'll like try and outro it, and he has to have the last word. And I just let him do it. But I want to know if you could figure out why that was. But I guess we'll find out on the Patreon.
Why do you think? Why do you think he always mentions Dream?
What? Fuck off.
He always brings it. There's actually an account that tracks how often he mentions it, but he says it doesn't bother him.
Mentions
but it does.
What, sorry?
A dream.
Oh, no, because now you've got. You're right, we'll talk about this on the Patreon.
I've dobbed you in twice. Mate. I've
dobbed we'll you talk in about this on the much. Patreon. Make the sound with me. $7. Come join us.
Patreon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.